Please keep your Bibles open to Psalm 61. We'll spend a short amount of time in Luke's Gospel before finishing in Romans 8. But let's pray now. Let's talk to God. Our dear Father, we pray that you might calm our souls as we head to your word, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I remember jumping off the rocks at the point at Lennox Head, but as I began to paddle out on the bodyboard, a wave surged and picked me up and threw me on my back onto the rocks. My heart was now pounding. I had to make a quick decision. I either had to take on this set of waves that were about to pound against the rocks of Lennox Point or find a bigger rock. I looked around and for the biggest rock, and I clambered up onto it like an uncoordinated seal in my wetsuit, and the water thrashed against the rock as wave after wave pounded the shoreline like repeated bombs, casting water like shrapnel against the rock that I sat. But I was safe on this rock. But what are we to do, though, for our town, who 2 weeks ago climbed to higher ground, but the water kept rising? They climbed to safety, or what they thought was safety, but the waters overwhelmed that place too. I mean, what do we say to the woman who earlier this week came up into the pop-up pantry here and spoke about clambering above the waters? She recalls the waters grew so high she had to put her children up into the roof cavity only to find asbestos in there. How are we to convince her that God is the higher ground, the safe place, when the waves of life are pounding against you? Can I ask you, do you believe our Father God is the safe place, is the higher ground, is the dry rock when the ocean surges against us? Well, let's head to God's living word in prayer that the Spirit of God would salvage our faith in this flood of distrust. I'm going to invite you, with your anguish and your heartache and your pain, to come on this journey through surging seas to find the rock that is higher from Psalm 61. Like last Sunday, if your emotions overwhelm you, you feel it's just too much, feel free to step out of the room. Our Saviour God knows and feels and sees your tears. So let us continue then in our Psalm series, an anchor for the soul, as we turn together to Psalm 61. Well, the desperate cries out from the psalmist, it's a groan, it's a scream from verses 1 and 2. Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. It's a frantic cry, it's a distressing one, and the bellow echoes out across the land. This is a psalm our city relates to. It is painfully relevant and agonizingly real. For their cries are the same from the rooftops in the early hours of Monday, February 28. And like those cries that remained unheard, so too does the psalmist understand that horrible experience. To shriek, to yell, to wail, and feel like in your most anxious moment it falls into dreaded silence. Because listen to the second half of verse 2. I call as my heart grows faint. Can you sense the despondency in the very essence of the psalmist, in the core of this person? Crying, weeping, yelling, shouting, but what do you hear from those cries? Nothing. The darkest silence and the most solitary pain. You scream nothing. You yell silence. You cry out utter and complete stillness. Can you imagine anything more frightening? Emergency silence. Danger silence. SOS silence. Help silence. That's the psalmist's experience in the midst of their prayers. And I would suggest it was the same experience of far too many in our city too. So is there any hope? Is there any point to our prayers? Can we find an anchor for our soul? Well, look at the last phrase in verse 2 and verse 3. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. From the sea of tears that overwhelm the psalmist with a bowed head and a broken heart, they lift their eyes and they see higher ground. Perhaps they thought they were dreaming, or they'd become delusional, or they were simply seeing things. But they look again, and it's true. They see higher ground. The miracle appears. The high ground away from the misery. A rock higher than I. A refuge, a strong tower. Who is this rock? Who is this tower? Who is this shelter? It is Yahweh. The great I am is God. Well, last Friday, I was speaking to a Christian leader from the Northern Rivers, and they told the story of an angel-like man who sped through the water early on that Monday morning on a jet ski as the flood overwhelmed our city. As one elderly woman hopped onto the jet ski, she said, "My children will never believe that I rode a jet ski." She was ripped from that drowning vessel of her home to higher ground by the most unexpected salvation. And yet what this elderly woman may not know is that rider was an instrument of the divine, actually a God-fearing man from our city. But I can imagine she might be tempted and expected to think, where was God when I screamed in my God-forsaken home? God abandoned me. He left me to die. He was silent to my tears. So our wrestle for today is to ask, is she right? Is God safe? Will he provide high ground? Well, you may not know this, but in the life of Jesus, from the very outset, he sets his sights on higher ground. Have a listen. This is from Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Jesus' intention is for high ground. Jesus' vision is for Mount Zion. Jesus is resolute to head to a hill in Jerusalem. The Gospel of Luke is dominated by this vision to head to Mount Zion, to the holy city, to the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And why does Jesus want to climb this high ground? Because it was the Temple Mount. It was a Mount Zion that the Bible records would reverse the curse of Genesis 3. It would inundate the world with blessing from Genesis 12. The psalmist shrieked in Psalm 61 to be able to dwell with God forever in verse 4 of Psalm 61. Again in verse 4 in the psalm, the psalmist shouts for the Lord to provide refuge. And so Jesus' mission was to fulfill these heart-wrenching cries from the psalmist. Have a listen to this from Luke chapter 13. This is Jesus. "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent you, how I have often longed to gather you as children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing." Jesus' mission was to head to high ground, to head to Mount Zion, to head to the Temple Mount, to the place where God dwelt, to bring refuge to those who seek him. And yet many, in fact, a lot of people were not willing. But that didn't stop Christ. Do you remember Luke chapter 9, verse 51? It says, he resolutely set his eyes on higher ground. Jesus would go to the Temple Mount. He would ascend Mount Zion. Jesus would actually climb a wooden cross to bring refuge to those who would seek protection in him. Jesus' cross is the lifeboat. It is the safe place. Jesus' cross is the tower from a sea of dejection and despair. And yet we must know, in regard to our city, it cannot be argued the water did not rise. It cannot be refuted. Our town was not prepared. And it cannot be said, at least it wasn't as high as 1974. The chaos in our city is real. The excavators that we see lining the streets are real. The cracks in the foundation of a town's heart are real. And yet in Romans chapter 8, we receive promises. Promises that sit this side of the high ground of the cross, and they remain strong and firm and immovable. So let me read from Romans 8 and verse 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, or flood? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Now in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The late English pastor John Stott reflected on this famous passage from the Apostle Paul and notes that across Romans 8, 15 questions are flung against the tower of the love of God, pushed against the high ground of the cross of Christ. And yet not one of those questions fractures the foundations of the love of God revealed to us in the cross of Jesus when he died on that hill outside of Jerusalem. Instead of questions that bend and distort the frame and bedrock of the Christian faith, actually 15 assurances of the love of Christ shoot us in the air, high above human suffering and despair. Stott himself clinged on to this high hope and this place of refuge, even though he himself lived through and experienced the horror of the Second World War, the Cold War, and Vietnam. But John confidently stands and proclaims these words: we urgently need Romans 8 today. Since nothing in our world seems stable anymore, insecurity is written against all human experience. Christians are not immune to temptation or tragedy or tribulation, but we are promised victory over all of them. God's pledge is not that suffering will never affect us, but that it will never affect us from his love. In 2016, a Lismore-based musician wrote a song, Living in a Flood Town. It goes like this. Someone's driving a boat up and down Molesworth Street. There's a crowd at the lookout. Old friends and neighbours meet. The SES man said, it's going to rise a little more. That doesn't really matter much. It's already come through the front door. And it keeps on rising and rising. It keeps on coming. The carpet is swapped. The sink won't drain. The downpipes are gushing. Living in a flood town. Things go under when the rain comes down. When you're living in a flood town, it's not easy to find high ground. Where do you find high ground in Lismore? When the 2022 flood went 2 metres above the 1974 flood, it's not easy. For so many in our church family, your homes were deluged. Your businesses swamped, your livelihoods drowned. You probably can't even utter the words, Lord, where is the high ground? It's a question too painful, too raw, too real, too traumatic, too unbelievable. Where, Lord? Didn't you say in Psalm 61, you're a high tower? Where were you as a stronghold on February 28, 2022? Maybe the German atheist was right 140 years ago when he said God is dead. Maybe after the 2022 flood in Lismore, belief in God is no longer viable. And yet in actual fact, the fact that God is dead is where true faith begins. For on the cross, Jesus puts to death all false ideas about God as he cries out to his Father and offers himself up by the Spirit, breathing out his last. He reveals a God beyond our dreams. Through the cross, we see a God who is infinitely better. We don't see a God who doesn't care about our plight. We see one who personally deals with the root of it all. The ancient Babylonian god Marduk said he wanted humanity to exist as his slaves. Jesus said he didn't come to serve, but to serve and to save. Jesus is the high ground and is the road to the knowledge, to the true knowledge of God. He reveals God to be Father, Son, and Spirit. And so he reveals the only God who is love. And he shows us the high ground of his love on the cross. The reformer John Calvin said of the cross, "In the cross, it is a magnificent theater. The immeasurable goodness of God is displayed before the whole world. In all the creatures, indeed, both high and low, the glory of God shines, but nowhere has it shone more brightly than in the cross." Now, I reckon you can imagine why in a flood town any vision of religion must be flushed away. As religion and the gods continue to insist upon us, their need for worship, their need for us to serve them, their need for us to keep doing things. But not the God of Psalm 61. He needs nothing. He has life in himself, so much so he offers it to us in our most deepest need, for he has life and it is brimming over. His love to us at the cross is overflowing and self-giving, a place of refuge for weary souls. I wonder what the elderly woman thought that early Monday morning as she clung onto that jet ski ridden by a Christian man. Did she think good riddance to God, whom she cried as she laid stranded in despair on the roof of her house? Or could there have been a slight look up and a thank God that she was carried to higher ground? I guess we never know what her thoughts were or what prayers may have filled her head. And yet when the heart of our city aims to restart and trials again turn against you in life or work or family, when your mind might torment you at night, harassing you with what-if questions, remember, 15 of the most brutal questions may pick you up and cast you onto your back, dash you against the rocks, bombard you with wave after wave that crashes against your soul and seek to annihilate it. Remember, nothing will separate us. 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 Nothing will separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The cross is the anchor for our souls. He is the high ground. Let's pray. Let's talk to God. Father, we want to thank you that the cross is the highest ground between heaven and earth. We are sorry for the times our anxious questions flood our souls, crashing against our faith, leaving us lifeless and weak and in deep despair. Please lift our eyes to the cross to see your deep love there. Carry us before the cross each day to that high ground when the troubles of life threaten to cast us away. Remind us we are safe and secure. And we ask it in Jesus' name.